أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله بالغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتى اليقين ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we only praise and thank and worship, sacrifice, make dua, seek assistance only from one Allah, Izzati wal Jalal. Fahuwa al-Khaliq, our Creator, and not just our Creator, wahuwa fatiru samawati wal ard, the fashioner and the designer of the heavens and the earth. That our Allah, unlike you and I, we look at other creation to get ideas to create. We look at fish to get ideas to create submarines and ships. We look at birds and we get ideas to create aeroplanes. But our Allah, فَهُوَ الْخَالِدُ الْكِرْهَيْتَةِ وَفَاطِرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ He designed and fashioned and created without a blueprint, without a plan, and without a template. فَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ The all-hearing. Unlike you and I, we need a sound in order for us to know. We still have the ability to hear. But our Allah is all-hearing, even with no sound. Let us keep and bear that in mind. Every time you want to say something, be in mind, وَهُوَ السَّمِعُ The all-hearing ears. That my Allah and your Allah, فَهُوَ الْبَصِيرُ The all-seeing. He sees that black ant under a rock on the darkest night. Allah عِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ is aware of that ant. Not only does Allah see that ant, but Allah hears the heartbeat of that ant. Remember who we are dealing with. Every time we alone and we want to sin, فَهُوَ الْبَصِيرُ He is the all-seeing. We put our salams and salutations and greetings upon our imam, upon our leader, and we hope upon our lawyer, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَهُوَ الْمُصْطَفَى The chosen one, وَحَبِيبُ اللَّهِ And the one who is most beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu grant that his beloved intercede for you and I on the day of Qiyamah. Oh Allah, make us of those fortunate ones. And the third custom that we have and the norm of each and every Muslim, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ That we'll be grateful for the bounties and favors that Allah has bestowed upon us. Only once we are grateful, Allah promises, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ I will surely increase those bounties and favors upon you. May Allah grant us true understanding. We can never count the favors, but the last favor we recall is that Allah has allowed us to breathe today. Allah has granted another Mubarak day to live. And Allah has granted us to be in the Mubarak house of Allah, Izzati wal Jalal. May Allah reward us greatly for that. But you and I need to be grateful for that, so that Allah may increase that favor upon us. May Allah grant that this be the life-changing Jummah in our lives. Amin, thumma amin. And we welcome the listeners of the Radio Voice of the Cape as well. And we hope that all those listening, let this be the life change. Sit with it, niyyah. We have heard many nasihas, many advices. Oh Allah grant, when we say, Qala Allah, then the advice comes from Allah. And when we say, Qala Rasulullah, the advice comes from His beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen with a niyyah, that Allah, let this be the life-changing advice. Min Allah, only comes from Allah and His beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amma ba'd, and we continue. Where we left off from last week, and we have mentioned that, alhamdulillah, we still, and just yesterday was Women's Day. And we know that is obviously no relation to Islam, but we grab every opportunity in order for us to turn our lives around. Like that of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, when the Sahaba were gathered, he looked for an opportunity in order to remind them of the greatness of Allah. We see now in the time, as I've mentioned last week, the increase of women and spousal abuse, the increase of our girls losing themselves. You see, we look at a Muslimah, a female Muslim, and we see sometimes the identity of Islam is no longer to be found in that particular person. May Allah safeguard and protect our daughters. Amin, thumma amin. So the three things we mentioned today, al-mar'atu fil Islam, is the rank of a woman, the rank of a woman, of a female, the rank of a mother, the rank of a sister, the rank of a mother, of a wife, in the eyesight of our deen. We look at ihtimam, what the importance, responsibility, and where their allegiance should lay. And we look at good examples from that our Islam, that our deen has shown us. May Allah grant us true understanding. Number one, al-mar'atu fil Islam. We look at the rank of a woman in Islam. And at times when we look and we really gauge and we try to find that how relative all these things are in our daily lives, we say subhanallah that at times if you look at it, that at times it seems as if Islam has given more rank to the women than the men. And I can say this on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam. When the sahabi came to him, he says, Ya Rasulullah, man ahakku nas li husni suhbati. He came to the messenger of Allah Izzati wa Jalla, he says, Ya Rasulullah, who of the creation, who of mankind deserves my closest companionship? Oh Allah, oh Rasul, oh messenger of Allah, who should I be the most gracious to? Ya Rasulullah, who should I treat the best? Ya Rasulullah, who should I be the kindest to? He asked. Rasulullah says, Qala ummuk. He says, oh, sahabi, oh companion, the one you must be the best to, ummuk, it must be your mother. And then Rasulullah could have said someone else, but Rasulullah didn't. So the sahabi says, thumma man. He says, Ya Rasulullah, then after my mother, then who? Who now takes second preference? Rasulullah says, ummuk, your mother once again. And then he says, Ya Rasulullah, after I've given first preference and second preference to my mother, thumma man, who then, O messenger of Allah, Rasulullah replies and again he says, ummuk, your mother. So if we look just based on the hadith, subhanallah, from being number one on the list, Rasulullah says, already being the number one on the list, Rasulullah could have mentioned anyone after that to show that the mother will always be top of the ranks. But to emphasize and to show you and I today, again the second time your mother, again the third time your mother. Thumma man, the companion now asks, subhanallah, how many times does my mother now appear on this list? He says, thumma man, who then, O messenger of Allah, Rasulullah says, Abuk, now your father. Based on that, Islam is a religion of adl, of justice. Islam is a religion that is fair. But look at the rank that Islam has given our women folk. Look at that rank. And we don't stop there. Come and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions with regards to our wives. Rasulullah says, Ittaqullaha fin nisa. O men folk addressing men, my dear brothers, fathers in Islam, addressing the men folk. He says, Ittaqullaha fin nisa. Be Allah conscious, be wary, fear Allah with regards to your women. Fear Allah with regards to your wives. He says, فَإِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُهُنَّ. He says, because verily, certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have taken them. بِأَمَانِ اللَّهِ. In the security, in the safety, in the protection of Allah Izzati wal Jalal. You have taken the women and you have made a promise. You have taken these wives and you have made a covenant. From all those women in this dunya on the day when you got married, you came to the imam and said, I want to marry her. No one held a knife, a gun to your head. You said, I want to marry. From all the women that you could have selected on this dunya, you wanted her. Why 5 years, 10 years, 8 years? And in today's day and age, why 1 year later you now want to change your mind? From all the women that you could have selected, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you went the route, stood in stairs, sat in front of an imam, and you took that oath that you will provide for her, you will look after her, you will nafaqa her, you will treat her with the utmost decency and respect. That was an oath that took to Allah Izzati wal Jalal. And Rasulullah only reminds us in this hadith, fear Allah with regard to that contract that you have taken. Fear Allah, be Allah conscious and aware thereof. فَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ, because see what Allah has done for you. فَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ, because Allah has made her most intimate part, most private part halal for you. From all the women on this dunya, Allahu Akbar, that Allah subhanahu has made it halal for the two of you to live together. From whatever that has happened, subhanallah, that Allah says, by the mentioning of Allah's name, that Allah subhanahu has made halal for you, this wife. Then Rasulullah continues, and Rasulullah says, بِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ, just by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you stood in front of the imam and you made that oath and you took that contract, it is because of Allah's greatness. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ الشَّهِيدَ. Allah was there. Why are we mentioning this? Because at the same day when you got married, the imam says, and if you were to split, if it didn't work out, then you split also in kindness. You still have dignity. Still maintain that respect for each other. Our, subhanAllah, our religion has laid out every single thing. Don't jump to that first. Go the route of seeking guidance. Go the route of seeking counsel. And this again, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has told us. Imam Ahmad fi Musnadi and fi Tabrani. He now emphasized the responsibilities of a woman, responsibilities of a wife, responsibility of our teenage daughters. Look at how this affects us, my dear mothers, brothers, fathers and sisters in Islam. On the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِذَا صَلَّتْ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَحَسُنَتْ فَرُجَهَا وَعَطَتْ زَوْجَهَا دَخَلَتِ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَيْهِ أَبْوَابَهَا شَاءَتْ. Subhanallah. Rasulullah says, إِذَا صَلَّتْ الْمَرْأَةُ, when a woman prays, when she performs a 5 times daily salah, that's number one. 5 times daily salah. وَحَسُنَتْ فَرُجَهَا, and she protects her modesty. She protects her chastity. She protects her most intimate and private part. وَعَطَعَتْ زَوْجَهَا, and she's dutiful. And she's obedient. And she's respectful to her husband. Now here's the perks. 3 things Rasulullah mentions. Number one, be steadfast on salah, my dear sisters and mothers in Islam. Then Rasulullah says, and protect your chastity, modesty, your dignity. Number three, Rasulullah says, be obedient to the husband. Here's the perks and the bonus. Dakhala Jannah. She enters Jannah. From where? Min ayyi abwaabiha sha'at. From any door she wishes. Oh Allah grant this to our wives, our mothers, our sisters and our daughters in Islam. Say Ameen. This Jannah, this great Jannah, she gets to decide which door to enter. And we know today's day and age, which woman they will go for the best. Every second year, every third year, how many kitchen kashis got changed with, diara mut got changed with. Something must change in the home. Curtains must change, alterations must be done. The towel doesn't look so nice. And the more you do it, and after 3 years after that, and after 4 years after that, muna manet via change. Ya ka tuide ya muna spint. To suit the color, this type of curtains today, that type of tiles tomorrow. I'm saying, my dear mother, father, and brother, sister in Islam, subhanallah, which door would she then select when all the doors of Jannah are perfect? How will she get to decide? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the doors, imagine the challenge she will have on the day of Qiyamah. To enter any door that she wishes, and all those doors are enticing. Oh Allah, grant us all to see these doors. Say Ameen. But there's conditions. There's conditions. We need to honor our mothers and honor our sisters and our daughters. Not only because it's a month of the woman's month. Subhanallah, every single month is a woman's month in the deen of Islam. And every single day is a great day in which to draw closer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you can enter Jannah because of your salah, you can enter Jannah because of zakah and fasting, you enter Jannah because of hajj and sadaqah, do we not realize, my dear fathers and husbands in Islam, that our wives is just another door for us, an opportunity to enter Jannah? My dear sisters and mothers in Islam, do you not realize that from all the good that you have done, that being obedient and subservient and loving and caring to your husband is just another opportunity and another means for you to attain Jannah. May Allah grant us true understanding. So number one, if we look at the sequence of the hadith, that when she establishes a salah, then be dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be consistent with salah. Be on time with your salah. See, first of all, the duties to Allah and His Messenger. Because that's what Rasulullah says. If a lady is punctual with her salah, and by the way, to sidetrack, a footnote, many of our daughters don't realize that when it comes to our hayd, when it comes and they fall out that time of the month, and by dhuhr they are clean, then the only one to go wash after Isha and start performing salah from tomorrow Fajr. My dear fathers, brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to educate that if our daughters fall out on one day, and by the next door, 2 days, 3 days, whatever it may be, if they are clean by the waqt and it comes, then they must go ghusl and they must perform the immediate salah in which they are clean. Don't wait for the whole night and for the next day, because then it will be prescribed. Next thing that we need to educate our daughters on is that if you had the opportunity to perform dhuhr but you didn't, and asr has come, due to your negligence you didn't perform dhuhr, and you fall out, and you now see that I cannot perform salah, that dhuhr is still due to Allah because it was because of your negligence you didn't perform it. May Allah forgive us our shortcomings, say ameen. And may Allah grant that this be that life-changing jumu'ah in which we draw closer and nearer to Allah, say ameen. Coming back, the challenge that we as men folk, sometimes we don't realize, subhanallah, that how Allah has honored the women. You know, the challenge it is that after they have menstruated, after they are now clean, you know how difficult at times and the challenge it is for them now to perform salah. They've been off duty now for 2, 3, 4 days. Now that they must perform salah, now the challenge comes. Now shaitan comes. May Allah grant that our sisters and our mothers pass this test with flying colors. Allah reward them greatly, like the mujahids, for making that sacrifices. Then Rasulullah continues, and Rasulullah says, وَحَسُنَتْ فَرْجَهَا, and protect your modesty and your chastity. And the first thing that jeopardizes your modesty and chastity, the first thing that jeopardizes that, my dear sisters and mothers in Islam, is libas, the clothing. We have a daunting task, working with madaris. You try to inculcate in the Muslim young girls, in the Muslimah. You say, my dear, cover your hair. Wear your scarf. Wear your scarf. 24/7, wear your scarf. Weekends, wear your scarf. And we wonder, why is it that our daughters are not wearing scarves, subhanallah? And when there's meetings and you see the mother, now we understand. You see, if the mother is not wearing the scarf, the first madrasa of any human being, the first madrasa of her child is the mother. If she is negligent, what type of offspring do we expect? I'm reminding myself and all of us that this ummah, the strength of this ummah, the quwwah of this ummah, the survival of this ummah lay in the hands of our women folk. We as the males, the imam, we need our guidance in order to steer and direct them. Like I always say, and I remind myself again, if a man only comes 4 times to the house of Allah for a jumu'ah, 4 times a month, he comes once a week for a 20 minute, 30 minute khutbah, how is he supposed to safeguard his family from the fire of Jahannam? If he's not increasing, improving, and if he's not developing his ilm and his knowledge, how is he supposed to protect his family for everlasting fire of Jahannam? May Allah protect us all. We need to be in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to strengthen and empower. We need to safeguard our family. Don't we want to be everlasting happiness in Jannah as a family? Can you picture Jannah only with yourself? When our father, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, could not do it. Nabi Adam alayhi salam created in Jannah, lived in Jannah, resided in Jannah, the place you and I aspire to be. Yet with everything that is so gloomy, with everything that is so blissful, with all the joy that they had in Jannah, he still felt some loneliness. So Allah Izzati wal Jalala to create for him someone like him. Hawa our mother alayhi salam. The question is, if Nabi Adam alayhi salam could not enjoy Jannah without a spouse, how can you think and I think that we can enjoy this world without a partner? If Jannah was created and Nabi Adam was in Jannah and he needed a wife, subhanallah, then we do need him. Even though we say there's Makenia from independent. Don't be like that. See what Allah subhanahu tells in Surah Al-A'raf. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا بني آدم لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة ينزع عنهما لباسهما ليريهما سوآتهما. And this is the first compromise that they should never be with. My dear fathers in Islam, we the ones that nafaqa our wives and our daughters, their scarves must be part of it. How can our daughters leave the house and we as the imam and the leaders of the home allow our daughters to dress half naked outside? Have that chick inside the home and say, my dear daughter, I love you for the sake of Allah, but I fear if I'm not going to see that you are dressed appropriately according to what Allah wants, then you and I will be joined in the fire of Jahannam. But my dear daughter, understand that due to the love that I have for you, I want us both to enjoy Jannah. May Allah grant that for all of us. So Allah tells us in the ayah. You see, at times we don't realize the seriousness of three strands, four strands of hair hanging out. When Rasulullah went on Mi'raj and he saw ladies hanging by their bosoms, hanging by the chest, because of exposing their bodies. We don't realize how serious it is. We think that the dress must be down, and we think that the walking with sleeveless tops. This goes contrary to what our deen of Islam teaches and preaches. Not my words. Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 27. So, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, Allah speaking to you and I directly. I say again, remind us from Allah, قال الله تعالى. Says, Ya Adam, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, لا يفتننكم الشيطان. Don't let shaitan deceive you. Don't let shaitan tempt you. Don't let shaitan trick you. كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة. As he has done with your parents, Nabi Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. It's because of shaitan they were expelled from Jannah. Because of shaitan they were removed from Jannah. Then Allah tells us how they were removed. And Allah tells us the cause and the reason. يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا. Because they started to expose their bodies. Only two people in Jannah. Two people. From disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they now notice each other's bodies. So shaitan, little by little, لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا. Until they now notice and saw each other's private parts. Not my words. Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 27. I remind myself, go home. Translation Quran. There's much more. The ayah in front of that and the ayah behind that. Share it with the family. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of shaitan, he started to let him expose it. But look how serious it is. In the place of everlasting happiness, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that happiness was stripped from them. If that is Jannah, do you think that if we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll continue to be happy in this world that is filled with fitna and fasad? If happiness was taken from Nabi Adam and Hawa alayhi salam in Jannah, and you and I think we disobey Allah in this world, and we still expect happiness. We go to the following. Then Allah says, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Shaitan and his army, they'll be watching over you. Listen to the stern warning of the one who created you and I. Listen to the warning of the one who's all seeing. Take heed of the one who is all hearing. Hearing you and I things that we cannot see. The all hearing, warning you and I things that we never hear. So Allah says, beware, be careful of shaitan. He watches you on every corner from places you don't even realize. So what happens now? Now we go to all these forms. What is shaitan doing? He now exposes you on WhatsApp. He exposes you on the cell phones. He now exposes you on Instagram. He now exposes you on Facebook. My dear fathers, brothers, mothers and sisters in Islam. Once there's a picture of our daughters and our mothers on there, millions of people see it. You can delete it with a push of a button, but you cannot remove it from the minds of people who saw it. Safeguard yourself. At times we think these phones is good. There's more disadvantages in it. More damage that it can create. Why? Because Allah told us that shaitan will use any means possible. Any means possible. In the following hadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam now says, Abu Bakr al-Bazzari, radhiallahu anhu, and Anas bin Malik, radhiallahu anhu, says, Rasulullah was sitting one day. Rasulullah was saying, and he smiled and he laughed, subhanAllah. The Sahaba sitting in Sahih Muslim, the Sahaba sitting, he says, Ya Rasulullah, Rasulullah asks, won't you ask me? Why don't you ask, Ala tas'aluna an ayyi shayin dhahiktu? Why don't you ask me why am I laughing? Qala, he says, Ya Rasulullah, mimma la tadhak. Ya Rasulullah, why are you laughing? What's the reason that you're smiling? He says, Rasulullah says, Subhanallah, I'm just thinking of how ajibtu min mujadalat al-abd rabbahu yawm al-qiyamah. He says, I'm just thinking now how strange it is that al-abd, the servant, the worshipper, you and I, will argue and debate with Allah on the day of qiyamah. So very carefully, Rasulullah says, I'm just wondering how strange the nerve, the audacity of a worshipper that want to argue and debate with Allah Izzati wal Jalal the day of qiyamah. He says, Rasulullah continues, he says, Ya Rabbi alaysa adl. He says, Subhana, Ya Rabbi, human beings, people will say in the day of Qiyamah. Oh Allah, did you not say, alaysa wa'adtani ala tathlamani? Oh Allah, did you not say that you won't transgress, that you won't oppress us on the day of Qiyamah? Oh Allah, did Allah not promise that there will be no oppression for me on the day of Qiyamah? Allah says, Bala, yes, I did say so. Then he says, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, he says, to speed up. He says, Allah, then I don't want the testification. I don't want the witness of any human being, nor an angel to testify against me. He says, no one, Allah, I consider that if another human being says, etc., etc., A, B, C, D, whatever it is, if another human testifies against me, I consider that oppression. And you promise, oh Allah, you won't oppress. But, he says, Ya Allah, look at the arrogance of people, ignorantly, he says. He and she says, he says, ignorantly, he says, oh Allah, but I'm willing to accept the testimony of my own self. I was there when it happened, I would know. And Allah says, okay. Then Allah seals the mouth. Then Allah closes the mouth. So no other person will testify against you except your own self. Then what? Then Allah allows the eye to speak. Then Allah makes the ear to speak. Allah makes the hands, the feet. Allah makes the heart to speak. Allah makes our skin to speak. But then what does it say? Allah tells us in Surah Yasin, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Hands will speak, feet will speak, everything will speak. At the end of it, the eyes, the ears, everything, our daughter's strands of hair will speak against her. And she will blame everyone. Oh Allah, my father saw me do it, he did nothing. Allah, my father never bought me scarves. We're walking on the beach, two-piece bikinis. Oh Allah, my father bought it for me. She will blame everyone else except herself. My wife leaves the house. You say, Allah, my husband saw me, he did nothing. He didn't remind me, didn't tell me. So what happens now? Now the daughter comes, the wife comes, she stands in front of Allah. And all the limbs are speaking against her. Yes, I exposed myself knowing there were strange men in the room. Allah, I put on the lipstick, I put on the makeup and everything, knowing I wasn't supposed to when I left the home. All this in testifying against herself. At the end of it, now that her body has spoken against her, she now curses her body. He says, Subhanallah, idiot, damn you, curse you, oh body, oh limbs of mine. Do you not realize that I was trying to save you from the fire of Jahannam? Don't you see that's why I spoke out? Don't you see I tried to protect you from the fire of Jahannam? But in turn, you're now speaking out against me, having a dialogue, a personal dialogue with own self. Well, Allah grant that if we were to have that dialogue, Allah grant us to pass. My dear mothers, brothers, fathers, sisters in Islam, we didn't see that last hour yet. We still have time to create our limbs in doing good. Allah grant the limbs only speak good of us. Say Amen. I continue. Rasul Sam says, "Ad-dunya mata' wa khayru mata' imra'atu salihah." This is Rasul Sam says that the enjoyment, this dunya is filled with enjoyment, full of goodness, but the best enjoyment, the best pleasure, imra'atu salihah, is a pious, righteous woman. Good wife, good spouse. Someone that's subservient, someone that loves us. This is a hadith of Rasulullah. And then, Allah commands you and I, the husbands, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And oh men folk, you treat your wives with honor, dignity, respect, compassion, love and mercy. Look at that strong instruction that Allah gives the men folk. Rasulullah says, you want to enjoy this dunya? Look for a good wife. My dear husbands, we must look for a wife that will wake us up of Fajr. Look for a wife that will remind us, go to a class. Look for such people. And my dear fathers, we have the right to look for good husbands for our daughters and good girls and good wives for our sons. May Allah grant us all the khair and barakah in our lives. Look at the advice. One mother of the pious predecessors, she gives advice to her daughter. She tells her daughter, as her daughter was about to embark on marriage, long advice, I just want to extract one thing of it. She says, "Kuni lahu amatun wa yakunu laka abdun." She tells her daughter, be to your husband a servant, and your husband will be a slave unto you. Very beautiful. Long advice. If we had more time, we could have expounded more. She says, be a servant to your husband. Now the moment you say servant, I'm going to say, what the servant is this? Because class servant, I'm going to class for me. I turn him out, I'm going to the TV change. That's what goes on in the minds of our mothers. But look at what she says. And wives, you know, that the moment you feed your husband, the moment you look well after your husband, now you know you've got him between your fingers, you can manipulate, you can do anything you want him to do. I said, no, sir, let her do. What she says, when your husband comes home, make sure his food is ready. Put that man lang wach for his coffee. Yes, my darling, course, ready. Coffee, tea. So, yes, cut the bowl, mashallah. See, now you're being his servant. But after you feed him, and after he drank his coffee and got everything, now he becomes a slave. Now you can ask him anything. My darling, what did you do here, darling? Kassis. Yes, can praat, inshallah. Like, kassis. Can see what is going to make a story. Isn't it? But dear mothers and fathers, moet hulle net wag vir sy klere nie. Man kon jy shower te staan in 'n WC sê nou mister besig om te stryk hy hemp. Have it done before it comes out of the shower. Alles moet ready wees. After that as jy man nou aantrek en jy verlaat die huis en sê kom sommer vir my chocolate man as jy so. No problem. Het jy gaan wag vir sy hempie. But if you wait for your shirt and you wait for something, you ironing so long these things, be a servant to him and wallahi after that he becomes your slave. Don't be like today's day and age. Nafaqah. Look after them. We think we're doing each other favors. He said, Sheikh, hey, nafaqah ni for my ni. He said, Sheikh, say if I nafaqah ni for my ni. But say Sheikh, who nafaqah ni? Sheikh, I kop my winter clear in the summer, by winter clear in sail. I kop my summer clear in the winter, by summer clear in sail. As if you throw them on the beach with long boots. Why? We left the basics of the sunnah. We have shoved Allah and His Rasul on some one side, thinking marriage must be the way we perceive it. Allah has laid out laws for the women. As men folk, look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the best husband, the best man, the best president, the best imam, the best in everything. Take example for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I end off. My dear mothers and sisters in Islam, who's our guiding stars? Who do you take as a role model? I want to refer us, my dear mothers and sisters in Islam. The masajid are empty. You in control. Send the husbands, send the sons to the masajid. Say, oh my son, that azar, go to the masjid. And I know at times the women, we come from work, we're tired, we see the household things. Wallahi, my dear mothers, send your sons if the husband don't want to come to the masjid. Ensure your son is in the house of Allah. When he grows up, wallahi al-azim, he will look after you. If you're not giving him deen, then you are not securing your future in this world. Wake him up for fajr. Love Allah more. And wallahi, doing that sacrifices, Allah will look after you even greater. My dear fathers in Islam, take advice from our spouses. The things we are sitting with, the dilemma we sit with in talaq cases, is that the woman wants to serve Allah. The woman wants to come to the masjid. The husband doesn't allow her. And last week I said of cases that we know, the woman embraces Islam to marry a man, but she has no taste of Islam because the husband doesn't allow her. He is weak as a Muslim. So what type of leadership will it be in the home? Change that around. Every time you go to a man, support him and praat met hom. Wat sê, praat met my minister van finance. Praat met hom, say deal met die finance. Look at the power you have in your home. You basically the president of the home. Send the son and the husband to the masjid. Make sure the house of Allah. You say, my dear husband, if you're not going to educate and empower yourself, what type of leader will you be for me in our home? What type of husband do we want for our daughter when she usually takes a man like her father? If the father's not in the masjid, what type of husband is she going to take one day? And then you come to the imam years later, make a promise to my daughter and our man. You say, yeah, but the promise was our pa. Be in the house of Allah. My dear mothers in Islam, and it's possible. Because Fir'aun was a tyrant to his wife, Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Today we say radiallahu anha. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. She says, oh Allah, the wife of Fir'aun, he was a tyrant. He was a disbeliever, but not she. Husbands today don't want to draw closer to Allah, but you hold steadfast, my dear mother and daughter in Islam. Like Fir'aun's wife, she's making dua, Allah. He doesn't want to believe, but oh Allah, grant me indaka, a house by you, ya Allah. Don't just ask for Jannah, ask for the highest place in Jannah. But Allah grant us Jannah to Firdaus. Don't ask for Jannah. Indaka, the wife of Fir'aun, says indaka, a house by you, oh Allah. She didn't just ask for Jannah. Why? Say, oh, and save God and protect me from Fir'aun and his ways. Save God me from Fir'aun and his thinking. And save God me from those people who transgress against themselves. Check an example, my dear mothers and daughters in Islam. Who's the role model? Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Rasul Sam came, a Nabi, Nubuwa, left the cave, shivering, rushing, running home, afraid, fearful of what just happened. His first contact with Jibreel alayhi salam. He comes home, he's shivering. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she consoles him. She says, Muhammad, that you're a good person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one will ever harm you. No ilah, no God would want harm for you when you only want good. Look at that consoling. The husband at times wants to do good. And the friend will say, nahi mani, no ni man. She comes, plus a picnic, as a kira program. Is the shopping. Be strong. Look at the life of Rasul alayhi wa sallam. A husband needs the support of his wife. I end off with Hajra and Hajj. When Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam had the difficulty of leaving his wife and his baby son, Hajar radhiyallahu anha supported him in that decision. If Allah wants you to do this, my husband, then do it to please Allah. My dear wives, if you encourage your husbands to come to the masjid, you bring your children, motivate, encourage your children to come to the madrasa after school, come to madrasa on a Sunday, sit in class, that ensures that you will have a prosperous future in this world, because now your son knows the value of a mother. Your son knows the value of a wife. The son will know the rank that Allah has granted his parents, and he will look after you. But you give him only all the secular education, no deen, then one day you're laying on your deathbed, and your own child will not be able to can recite Surah Yasin. Put Allah first, my dear fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters in Islam, and Allah will always keep you ahead in this dunya. May Allah grant us forgiveness for our shortcomings. May Allah grant us true iman. May Allah grant that we implement the advice that was given. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the khair and barakah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi barik wa sallim tasliman kathira.